From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with Catholic leaders about the importance of the Fortnight for Freedom that begins today, June 21st, and lasts until the 4th of July. During these coming 2 weeks, Catholics from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and the birthplace of liberty in Philadelphia, all the way to states in the Midwest like Illinois, Minnesota, Texas, Colorado, all the way to the West Coast, everybody is taking a stand for religious liberty. And today, Register Radio will showcase these patriotic and Catholic events and their meaning. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Tom.
We are blessed to have our first guest, Bishop Thomas Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois. He has been bishop of that diocese since June of 2010. He is both a civil and canon lawyer. He serves on the U.S. Bishops Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberties, and this week he spoke on a religious liberties panel at the 2013 Catholic Media Convention in Denver, where he also gave a very passionate homily on the need to take a stand for religious freedom during this Fortnight for Freedom. In his homily, the bishop echoed the powerful message of freedom and faith that Blessed John Paul II delivered to the Polish people in 1979, as well as the wisdom of one of my heroes, St. Thomas More, also St. Paul, and Christ himself. Your Excellency, welcome to Register Radio.
Hello, good to be with you.
Thank you.
Bishop Papraki, it was a pleasure to meet you this week at the Catholic Media Convention in Denver. I'm so glad that you were there present with the journalists and all the communications professionals who were gathered for those meetings. So thanks for being there and also here with us on the show.
Good to be with you.
Now, we have just entered the Fortnight for Freedom. It began today, June 21st. This is the U.S. Bishop's second fortnight that they have asked us all to celebrate in order to pray and to take a public stand for marriage and life and religious liberty. It lasts until June 4th. The timing of this event has great significance. Can you tell us about the next 14 days and the significance of these particular days?
Well, there's a great liturgical significance to this two-week period that we call a fortnight, because it starts actually with the vigil of Saints Thomas More and John Fisher. There were two great saints who were martyred because of their opposition to King Henry VIII, who wished to set himself up as the head of the Church of England, and said that he had authority over the Church of England, and that authority superseded the Pope's authority, and insisted that everyone in his kingdom sign an oath of supremacy. Thomas More, who had been his chancellor, the first lay chancellor in England, resigned rather than do that, and John Fisher was a bishop in England, and he also refused to take that oath, and because of that, they were both beheaded. There's some other feast days of martyrs that take place during this two-week period. June 24th is the solemnity of the birth of St. John the Baptist. He was also beheaded by King Herod for telling the king that it was wrong for him to have divorced his wife so he could marry his brother's wife. And then towards the end of the week, we have June 29th, we have the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. They both died as martyrs in Rome during the persecution of Emperor Nero for their public witness of the faith. And then the next day, June 30th, picks up on that with a memorial of the first martyrs of the Church of Rome. And those martyrs were the many Christians who were tortured, crucified, and burned alive in 64 AD in Nero's gardens on the Vatican Hill. July 3rd is the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. He went to Syria, Persia, and India, and he died there as a martyr for the faith. And then the fortnight concludes with the Independence Day celebration on July 4th, which, of course, is not a religious holy day, but it's a very important civic holiday in which we celebrate the freedoms of our country. So we sort of tie those two together with observing liturgically and prayerfully these great martyrs who died in witness to their faith, and then tie it in with our celebration of Independence Day on the 4th of July, in which we celebrate our freedoms, including the first of those freedoms and freedom of religion and the First Amendment.
What a rich liturgical season. It seems like this is a perfect opportunity to, I guess, wed our civic responsibilities and our joy to be Americans with a deep prayer about what it means to live out our faith in the public square. I think you can take each one of those days, and if you just pray with the saint of that day, you're really inspired. Now, I heard you earlier this week at the Catholic Media Convention make the point that this fortnight is not primarily about bishops organizing public rallies and protests and demonstrations. What would you say, what would you hope that we get from the fortnight?
Well, that was some of the statements that people were making last year when we did this for the first time, and it was an election year, and so people were on both sides, some were critical, saying that we were purposely doing this so these would be like political rallies during this fortnight, and then there were those who wanted us to be organizing political rallies, and we said, no, that's really not what this is all about. It's not about organizing political campaigns, although, you know, people will make their own decisions, hopefully, you know, learning from what the Church teaches and then applying them properly. But I think this year in particular, since it's not a national election year, you know, we can make it very clear that the main thrust of this is really in terms of the prayer and the liturgical observances we want to maintain here. And so it's similar to the Respect Life Month that we have in October every year in order to promote respect for human life from conception to natural death. And we do a lot of different things during the month of October. So we have this two-week period called a fortnight that we have, as I said, primarily with prayer. That's our most powerful weapon. So we start with prayer, and we start with our liturgical observances. So we'll have a number of different prayers that we will be able to offer. And some of the homilies and prayers of the faithful will be the focus of that. And then there will be opportunities for people to gather. For example, in our diocese in Springfield, which is the capital of Illinois, we will have a prayer rally outside of the state capitol on the 3rd of July at noon, and there'll be a number of events like that around the country. But it's a good opportunity, too, for people to just be more aware of the many ways that religious freedom is being threatened right here in our own country, and then to make their voices known to their legislators and to their elected officials that they really want to make sure that our religious freedoms are protected.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Bishop Thomas Peprocki of the Springfield Diocese about the Fortnight for Freedom. Bishop Peprocki, at the Catholic Communications Conference, you gave the homily on June 19th, and you told a story of Pope John Paul and the effects that prayer can have in bringing our faith to the public square. Can you tell us a little bit, can you set up that story, retell that story about Pope John Paul in 1979?
It's a very powerful story because it comes from the time when John Paul had just been elected in 1978, and then he made his first trip back to Poland in 1979. And so it was still during the years of Soviet domination in Poland and the Soviet bloc countries. The communist officials, first of all, didn't want him to come, but Catholicism is so strong in Poland that it was just impossible for them to keep the Pope away. So he did come, and he gathered with over a million people in Warsaw's Victory Square in 1979 in June that year. And in his gathering with the people at Mass, he asked the people if they accepted the obligations of their role in history to be a witness to Christ's cross and his resurrection. In response, the people began chanting, "We want God, we want God." And then he went to Krakow and had even a bigger crowd there. The Krakow is where he had been archbishop before he went to Rome as pope. And they say a crowd of somewhere between 2 and 3 million people gathered for another outdoor mass with him. And this homily he again talked about. Well, first of all, he asked the question, is it possible to dismiss Christ and everything which he brought into the world? And he said, of course it's possible, because human beings are free, and that's the whole point of freedom. Nobody's forced to have a religious belief. But he said, if we do say no to God and to Christ, then the critical question is, should we do that? And in the name of what should we do that? And so that he then gave the argument of really analyzing what our faith is all about. And so he ended by giving a very stirring closing about telling the people they had to be strong with the strength that faith gives. They had to be strong, faithful witnesses to the faith, and that faith and that love is stronger even than death. And so it was really a very rousing homily that changed the course of history. I think a lot of people credit that homily and that visit to Poland with really setting off a whole chain of events. You know, from 1979, it didn't happen right away, but it changed the whole atmosphere in Poland and gave the people the strength they needed in order to stand up so that by 1989, communism had come to an end in Poland.
Thank you for sharing that story, because I think it's so important that we have a picture in our head of what it means to take a stand and to continue to seek to bring our faith to the public square, even when it's not welcome. Because this movement in the United States right now seems small. The Fortnight for Freedom is intended to bring people into a greater awareness of how our freedoms are challenged. And so for images of Blessed John Paul II and also the images of the saints during this fortnight are very important images for us to have in our mind, because the battle and the threats are real. There's a real threat. There was a real threat in your own diocese. And this is in regard to Catholic Charities providing adoption and foster care services. Can you tell us about what the situation there? What has happened with regard to the diocese providing those services?
Well, what we faced in Illinois was in 2010, the state passed a bill providing for civil unions. And the bill gave all of the same protections in law that are given to married couples to people of the same sex who enter into a union. And as a result of that law, our Catholic Charities foster care and adoption services were told by the state that they would not renew our contract for foster care and adoption unless we agreed to do civil union placements for children with couples that are in civil unions. And we said, well, we couldn't do that because of our religious beliefs, and also because we thought in the best interest of children they should be in a stable home with a mother and a father, if at all possible. And since the state was insistent on that, and we said, well, that would be a violation of our religious beliefs, they refused to renew the contract. So Catholic Charities throughout the state of Illinois no longer does foster care or adoption because of this position of the state, you know, insisting. You know, there are at least 50 other agencies that were handling foster care and adoption that could do that, those civil unions. So we were not even preventing people. You know, it's not like we were the only ones doing this. So there are plenty of other options, but it just shows the ideology of the proponents of civil union and same-sex marriage, that you have to buy into their ideology, otherwise they're not satisfied. And then they're not satisfied even with civil union, so they're back in our legislature trying to now get same-sex marriage adopted in Illinois. So the Senate, this past winter on Valentine's Day, of all days, they passed through the Senate the same-sex marriage bill to redefine marriage between two people of the same sex. They thought it would sail through the House of Representatives in the State House, and it did not, and it actually stalled there. So the session adjourned on May 31st. That was never called for a vote because they have not gotten the votes. But it hasn't gone away. So when the legislature reconvenes, there's a good chance it could be called if they get enough votes. So we're still working at it. We're still trying to make sure that the legislators remain resolute on that and that they don't cave in to the redefinition of marriage.
Well, Bishop Paprocki, I am very grateful for your time today. I am with you in prayer in this fight in Illinois, and we are grateful for your prayers and your leadership. So thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. God bless you.
When we return, we'll talk more about the Fortnight for Freedom, a very important program this is. Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other. In our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest is Minnesota Catholic Conference Executive Director Jason Atkins, who has led efforts in Minnesota to engage the public on issues of life, marriage, and religious freedom. In preparation for the Fortnight for Freedom, the Minnesota Catholic Conference held a first Freedom Academy earlier this month to educate and train priests on religious liberty concerns and discussion points as well. During the next 2 weeks, the St. Paul Minneapolis Archdiocese will host First Freedom. It's an educational forum, Mass, and Holy Hour led by Archbishop Neinstedt, as well as conduct a Project Life and Liberty postcard campaign. So we've got a lot to talk about in this segment. Jason, welcome to Register Radio.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Jason, it's so good to have you. I've been following your work there in Minnesota. You've been working with Archbishop Neinstedt in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and the other Minnesota bishops so that the church does not retreat from public engagement on issues of life, marriage, and religious freedom. So we're so grateful for your work, and you've got a pretty big setup for the Fortnight for Freedom. I think you already held the first Freedom Academy, is that right?
That's correct, and yes, we've suffered a few setbacks here in Minnesota. Our legislature redefined marriage. We lost a really hard-fought marriage amendment campaign last fall. But if anything, those have really intensified our resolve and helped us be encouraged, really, about the need to push forward with these issues and have these discussions about the importance of protecting our first freedom. And so on June 2nd and 3rd, we held what we hope is the inaugural First Freedom Academy, an opportunity to bring priests together from around the province, Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota, and really help them understand the deeper issues related to the matter of religious liberty, both from a constitutional and legal context, but also from the standpoint of political theory, the ecclesiastical and theological context, but also how these issues impact our social ministry, so the boots-on-the-ground perspective. And we invited the executive director of the Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Tulsa to come in and talk about that. So it was an absolutely fantastic success. Our priests really went away energized, and we hope that they become advocates and experts in their diocese, because at the end of the day, our Catholic people, they get their information on these issues from their priests and in their parishes. So it's important that our priests become informed on these matters so they can form the faithful.
Absolutely. Can you give us a sample lesson of what was taught at the academy?
Well, we invited top-rate scholars and thinkers such as Helen Alvarez, who many people are familiar with from her work with Women Speak for Themselves and her battles against the HHS mandate and in defense of marriage. She gave us sort of First Amendment law in a short session, and just First Amendment law for dummies, but helped our priests understand sort of the basic issues that are on the horizon with regard to religious liberty, help them understand that religious liberty in the American context has always meant more than just freedom to worship, worshiping in the four walls. It means also the protection of conduct rooted in conviction, that the wall of separation that Jefferson talked about was never meant to protect the public from religious people like you and me, but it was instead to keep the state out of the church's business, to give them, as Jefferson said in his letter to the New Orleans Ursuline Convent in 1804, to keep the state out of their business and to allow them to do the important charitable and educational work that convent was engaged in. So it's really about protecting conduct rooted in conviction, running our businesses consistent with our faith, employing the people who can serve our mission most effectively, not being forced to purchase products that violate our conscience. And the list goes on and on. And these are important and emerging matters from a legal and constitutional standpoint, and people need to be informed about those debates so that they can act appropriately in the public arena.
Now, how have people responded to this campaign that the Catholic Conference has been doing?
Well, I think the response has been very positive. The people appreciate the way in which the church has been entrepreneurial, so to speak, about talking about these issues and making it as easy as possible for people to participate in the process and become informed. Often there's, you know, people are so busy, they seem like, and there's such a deluge of information that we face every day that it's sort of an impediment to getting involved in informing oneself. But in when the church creates opportunities for people to get more involved and to make it easy for them to learn the issues and then participate in the process, then the effectiveness of our Catholic voice increases all the more. And that's been a real goal of our efforts here at the Minnesota Catholic Conference.
This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Jason Atkins, Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and we're talking about the Fortnight for Freedom. Now, Jason, at the beginning of the show, you mentioned that the church in Minnesota has gone through a pretty rough period. Your state just approved legislation on same-sex marriage, and the church has basically led a campaign for 2 years on prayer and education to try and support traditional marriage. So that was a really tough year for you. How does the legalization of same-sex marriage challenge the church's religious liberty?
Well, in the Minnesota context, there's accommodations in the bill, as there are in most of the other states, or, you know, it doesn't force clergy to marry same-sex couples or require Catholic churches to host same-sex marriage ceremonies. But that was never in question, and that's kind of a red herring in these debates because the First Amendment protects that sort of basic liberty. And what's really at stake is the fact that these issues are more than just about protecting clergy and buildings. They're about protecting the people in the pew. And Minnesota, like in other states that's redefined marriage, provides no accommodations for the people in the pew, you know, marriage counselors, florists, wedding photographers, other religious schools such as an art. We have religious colleges here that aren't affiliated with a particular denomination who have married student housing. You know, how is this going to impact their mission? And so there aren't protections for you know, religious organizations and people in the pew, and that's very problematic. So when this law goes into effect on August 1st, you know, we'll see what sorts of conflicts there are between same-sex marriage and religious liberty. As one scholar, Matthew Frank, has written on the Very Fine Public Discourse website, there's really no peace between these two issues. That there's going to either be one or the other. And so people need to be really aware of those conflicts and those challenges. We plan on hosting in August, in concert with a number of other local groups, a full-blown seminar on this issue and other issues related to religious liberty in Minnesota, and we hope that pastors and clergy, people who run ministries, lay people in the pew, priests will attend and get a better sense of what's going on in that regard. So we continue to provide educational resources to help people understand the serious impact of redefining marriage. And that's something that your listeners all over the country should be really aware of and be proactive about in their conversations before marriage is redefined in other states.
Yeah, it's very, very important as we await the Supreme Court decision on the Defense of Marriage Act and Proposition 8, which should come soon. And as you said, it's very important, especially that the people in the pew, lay men and women, understand this. I'm going to tell our listeners about a Register story that we published this week on the Register's website. And it was about a nonpartisan group of lay Catholics called Catholics for Freedom of Religion. This began in Long Island with the blessing of Bishop William Murphy of the Rockville Center Diocese. And these are a group of Catholics who form in a parish and with the permission of their pastor, and they are there to promote and defend liberty in a grassroots-style effort. It's a really great group, and I would love for our listeners to find out more about it, and they can go to the Register and read that story about Catholics for Freedom of Religion. It sounds like you have quite a bit of lay involvement there in the Minnesota area. You know, it's so important that the laity understand their responsibility in this. So, you know, I appreciate the good work that you are doing in that. There's one effort that's going on in Minnesota that I know this isn't your domain, but I wanted to ask you about, because in order to invigorate the laity, they have to really understand and know and love their faith in order to defend it, right? So you have something going on called Rediscover in Minneapolis. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That's right. The Rediscover program is a evangelization effort and catechetical effort of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And what it really seeks to do is, you know, like the branding says, is help people rediscover their faith. You know, sometimes we've lost a sense of our story that, you know, the church is a place that doesn't just simply impose restrictions on your life and prevent you from doing fun things and listening to good music. It's really about, you know, finding meaning, finding happiness, helping you raise your family. But also, we forget our story that the church is one of the most important providers of social services. We feed the poor. We educate more people besides the government than anyone in the country. We provide more health care than any other Catholic health care system does. So sometimes we've lost a sense of our story and who we are, and I think getting beyond simply abstract doctrines and the way in which the media portrays us as a church of no's, this is an effort to re-engage Catholics and especially people who maybe haven't been to church in a while or haven't been serious about their faith. And it's really a smashing success from what I've seen, and it's just the Archdiocese and Communications Office here has really done a wonderful job of rolling that out. And it's great to see the church doing something entrepreneurial in the way of helping Catholics engage their faith, and especially when it comes to these issues such in the political arena. It's, as Bishop Lori and Archbishop Lori and Archbishop Chaput have said over and over, the bishops can raise the call, but it's ultimately up to the laity to bring these principles into the public sphere and in the public arena, and it's the laity's responsibility. So programs such as Rediscover that help people more deeply engage with the Catholic faith, I think are fantastic first steps, and my hat's off to my colleagues at the Archdiocese. Done a really magnificent job rolling that program out.
And well, Jason,
let me just put a plug in for that website, too. It's rediscover-faith.org.
That's wonderful. I was able to meet Sarah Mealy this week at the Catholic Media Convention. She's the communications director there in Minneapolis, and it was a pleasure to meet her. But it's also a great pleasure to talk with you today, and keep up the good work there in Minnesota. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. And you know, we've faced certainly some challenges and some setbacks, but there's very wonderful things going on here. And it's just a lot of cause for hope. The Rediscover program, we had 10 priests ordained here in the Archdiocese. And
wow.
God is really good and has been good to the Catholic Church in the state of Minnesota.
Well, as a former Minnesotan myself, please be assured of my poor prayers. I know that that you guys are really, really struggling with a lot of issues, but I know that God is victorious in the end. If we could mention that website one more time, it's rediscover-faith.org. Is that correct?
That's right. Rediscover-faith.org. And I also encourage listeners to visit our website, Minnesota Catholic Conference, at mncc.org. Again, that's mncc.org.
Great, great. Thank you so much, Jason. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you both. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Don't forget you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Just look for the picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.